We're glad you're all here to celebrate the reason for the season, that is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior and Lord. And before we get into the cantata, we're going to start this time off with prayer. And then I'm going to ask a couple of our ushers if they would come forward, and we'll wait upon you for the offering. So a couple of our guys. Yes? No? Thank you. As we get ready to pray, you know, many people during the Christmas season, turn my mic up a little bit, Andrew, please. Many people during the Christmas season, we get Christmas cards. You know, Christmas cards are nice. It's a tradition. But in most of the Christmas cards that don't have Santa in them, we would say, you know, peace on earth, peace on earth. I want to suggest to you that there can be no peace on earth apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we'll talk more about that, but I think as the cantata unfolds, you'll see more of that. Would anybody disagree that we live in crazy times? Okay. Would anybody disagree that we live in times that are tough financially? Would anybody disagree that families are under more stress than ever before? Well, there's hope, and it's a sure hope. When Jesus was born into Bethlehem, he was born into the same exact environment. There's always been stress on families. There's always been financial stress. There's always been health problems. There's always been these issues since the fall of man when Adam wimped out in the garden and he rebelled. We have a Savior who came to rescue us. Not to take the problems away, but to save us from ourselves, our own sinfulness, and to give peace, a peace that the world can never know without Jesus Christ. And so as we prepare our hearts for the cantata, let's pray together that God would be honored. Jesus Christ is our unseen guest here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the choir, for Sharon, the hard work that has gone into this. Our prayer is not to perform. Our prayer is to lift up our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Our goal is to communicate the message of the gospel that Christ came into this mess of humanity to give us salvation, forgiveness, hope, and new life. I'm so grateful for that, Father. It's nothing we did. It's all that he did. Help us to renew our faith. Help us, if we don't know him today, to trust in what he did for us in our place on the cross. And Father, we give to the work of the church. We give of our tithes and offerings. We give with glad hearts. We give with voluntary hearts. And we trust that you help us to be good stewards so we can get the message of Jesus Christ out to the world. We thank you for this opportunity, and we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Not bad. You got to get a little bit louder, okay? Amen. Amen. There you go. There you go. So we'll wait upon you now for offering. all of history, in all of recorded history, there's never been a baby that has caused so much ruckus as Jesus Christ. And I mean that in a good way, not bad way. From the moment he was born, the angels celebrated, although not all the angels, but the angels celebrated. From the moment he was born to hardworking people. And they got a chance to celebrate with the angels, normal people, shepherds, who are looked down upon society, by society. They knew that God was speaking again after 400 years. They knew that God sent his son to give hope and peace and new life. They knew. But not everybody was happy, especially the religious establishment. They weren't happy. And so the trouble began. And the trouble still continues because we're not about religion. We're about relationship. Jesus came so that you and I can have a living, growing relationship with him by faith. And so he desires a relationship in which we trust him in all areas of our life. We grow in him through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and we honor him with our lives. See, that's true change from the inside out. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Christianity is God's attempt to reach man through Jesus Christ. It's a big difference. So I want to invite you to listen to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the music. You know, music is a powerful medium. And many more people listen to the message of music than they do a sermon. Would you give your attention now to the Crossbridge Choir as they minister to you and bless you with the hope of Christmas? If you know the songs as we sing them, join in. They wouldn't mind. God bless you as you listen.
sing today of a holy night, a glorious moment that changed history, a miracle that took place 2,000 years ago. We sing of the humble birth of a baby, a child whose coming had been placed and been planned from the foundation of the world. And we sing of a Savior who is coming again. This is the good news. Heaven had prepared a miraculous event, and it was announced both near and far. First to shepherds watching their sheep out on the hills near Bethlehem, and then to wise men searching the skies in a distant land. Everywhere the news went, in the fullness of time. That's the way the word describes the when of the story. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, God's rescue plan for the world began to unfold. He revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through betrayal, Joseph was taken to Egypt, and through famine, God moved his family there too. For centuries, the people lived in slavery. Then God delivered them through the Red Sea and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They entered the Promised Land and became a nation, built a temple, and worshiped God. But though God was in their midst, they descended into idolatry and suffered exile. But God still did not abandon his plan or his people. Finally, in the fullness of time, God used a virgin named Mary, a man named Joseph, a Roman census in a little town of Bethlehem. Also, his son could be born. That miraculous night, Jesus came into the world as a baby, just as God had always planned.
Thank you.
As Mary cradled Jesus in her arms, the words of the angel must have echoed within her. You will have a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What a miracle. When we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, we hold the miracle of God with us in our hearts. Of a miracle. When you behold the fulfillment of God's promise, when you stand in the presence of His glory asleep in an angel, you bow in worship, you offer Him everything that is costly and precious. That's what the shepherds did that night. It's what the wise men did when they saw Him. It's what all of us do when we find. Thank you. nearly impossible to truly comprehend. The God of the universe as a helpless infant. The Creator becoming one of His created to endure pain, danger, rejection, and death. The Almighty laying aside His glory to rescue us. Chapter 2, verses 17 through 20 says, "After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, and all who heard the story were astonished. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is the incredible news we share." Thank you.
Take a deep breath. Were you blessed by the music? I want to thank Sharon and Chip and the ladies. Thank our technical guys, Emily and Andrew and Joey, who's lurking in the back doing the broadcast, and all who were involved in some way in this. They worked hard. I hope this blessed your heart. I hope this brought to our hearts the real meaning of Christmas. And too often we get lost in the busyness and the craziness of the holiday. I just want to read you a couple of verses. I don't have the remote, Emily, so if you can bring me up. There you go. This is from the Gospel of John. And in fact, this was alluded to in the cantata. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And we read that in the Gospel of John, you say, okay, who in the world is John talking about? Well, you have to go to verse 14 to find out. So could you bring up verse 14 for me? It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him, cried out, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. That was John the Baptist being referred to there. And in the next verse it says, out of his fullness we all have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I read these just to kind of give you the gospel in a nutshell. The ancients, when they heard that expression, the Word, in the original language is the Logos. And in their minds, it meant whoever was in charge of creation, whoever was in charge of the earth and what we see, must have been supernatural and divine. And John says in the beginning this, that the Word was nothing less than God. In fact, the Word was God. And then, we don't have time to unpack this all this morning, but the Word is one of the titles of Jesus Christ. You know, when I was young, I thought Jesus only came into being when he was born in Bethlehem. But he always was. He always was. Because he's God. He is, and he always will be. But this is what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, in the fullness of time, I'll translate that to you, when the time was exactly right, God sent his Son into the world. Not to condemn the world, but to save it. Save it from what? From ourselves. We're born rebels against God. That's what the Scripture says. We inherit Adam's rebellious nature. So you can blame him. But it doesn't take the responsibility away from us. We are naturally rebels against God. And when we rebel against God and God's word, it's sin. The world has done its best to redefine sin. In fact, I would suggest to you that we live in a time right now where we're calling evil good and good evil. Does that make sense? Well, what's good, Pastor? What God says is good. The Ten Commandments, they're good. None of us can keep them, but they're good. And because none of us can keep them, that's why we need a Savior. For God sent his Son, that whoever should believe in him should underline that. It's open to everybody. Whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And listen, the time into which Jesus was born was very dark. Same issues we have now. Very dark. people calling evil good and good evil. They were under the oppression of the Roman government. They were paying exorbitant taxes. They were paying $7 a mile for their donkeys. But you get the picture. Many couldn't even afford food on one day's salary. And God sends his son at the right time to be a light. That's what this is saying, to be a light in the darkness. Well, Jesus is alive. The empty tomb proves that. And he still comes to be a light in the darkness. What causes darkness? It's very simple. Sin. Sin causes darkness. Trying to disregard God and his word causes darkness. When we rebel against God, it's darkness. But Jesus comes to be the light of the world. Listen, God didn't have to do this. Man was the one who declared war on God. And God sent his son to be the reconciler, to give peace. Not a peace where there's no conflict, but a peace of a right relationship that when we receive him as Lord and Savior, we are reconciled with God. God looks at us through Christ as if we never sinned, because Jesus took our sin on the cross and paid the penalty for it. He endured eternal hell on the cross, the wrath of God, in my place, and in yours if you receive him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This also is a passage that shows the activity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and his love for us. Listen, I've had 12 years of training between a master's and a doctorate. I've spent many hours in Scripture, analyzing, exegeting, doing sermons and Bible studies. And I can tell you this, at my old age, I've come to appreciate the depth of God's love, but I haven't even reached the totality of it yet. To think that God can love a sinner like me is beyond my imagination. I'm being very honest with you. But see, that's grace. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, and that's forgiveness and mercy. Holiness is when God gives us what we do deserve, punishment for sin, which is death and eternal life in hell. That's what the Bible says. Horrible. Let me just dispel a myth, because Christmas time, sometimes stories get going and all. But one of the myths we have to dispel is that hell is not a fun place. It's not a club, and your buddies aren't going to be there. And if they are, you're not going to see them. Because hell, the Bible describes hell as a place of isolation, a place of torment, and a place of no hope of seeing God again. That's true darkness, by the way. If you're here today, and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, and you want to find out more about Jesus Christ or receive him as your personal Lord and Savior by faith. You don't have to do anything except come and say, Lord, I'm a rebel. I'm a sinner. I don't do everything right. Well, join humanity. Lord, I need a Savior, because he paid the penalty for my sin on the cross. Lord, help me turn away from my sin and turn to you in faith. It's as simple as that. And God says, if you pray that sincerely, Jesus will come into your heart and start a transformation process. And you could know his peace. True peace. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But it means through the problems, you're going to understand you're not alone. That you have a Savior who will walk with you through the problems. The peace of knowing that you are a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Can you think of a higher position? I can't. The son or daughter of Jesus Christ, as the scripture says. And I'll leave you with this. The scripture says all those who believe are saints. Can you imagine that? All who believe are saints. Well, I assure you, in the world's sense of what a saint is, I ain't. But through God's eyes, I am. Because he sees me through the holiness of Jesus Christ who lives in my heart. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. That simply means I'm on a journey with him. As he makes me more like him every day. This is the God who loves us. This is the God who's died for us. Now, God never forces himself on anybody. This has to be free and voluntary. So what I'm going to do today is if you are interested in knowing more or giving your life to Christ today by faith, come see me after the service. I'd be glad to pray with you. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have. I'll be sticking around, and you know the rest can have coffee or whatever. But don't let this day go by. You may never get this chance again. I know too many people who think they had tomorrow in their pocket. And for whatever reasons, an auto accident, a sudden illness, tomorrow never comes. So don't let this slide by. You're here because God wanted you here. You're here because you had a divine appointment to hear the gospel. He loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. He loved you enough to sacrifice his son so you and I can know forgiveness, new life, and have a new home in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this blessed day. I pray, Father, that there might be someone here, Father, that your spirit is touched, whose heart is open to knowing more or receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, if that's the case, all they need to do is come up after the service, shake my hand. I could pray with them if they wish, or answer their questions. Father, I thank you for those who are here. I pray you bless them. Again, I thank you for the choir and the hard work and the wonderful message that they put forth today as we were blessed. And most of all, I thank Jesus, our unseen guest. Pray that we honored him and lifted up his name. And I pray this in his name. Amen. We got one more song. You're going to be the choir. To those of you who have attended or have been here, you know the song, so join in. If you don't, it's an easy song. You'll catch on. And sing with us. Help us, would you?
Before we start, I was voluntold that I'm the spokesman for the choir here, and I would like to mention that none of this would be possible, none of our singing would be possible, if it wasn't for this grand lady sitting here in front of the keyboard. Sharon has so much patience, and we're pretty much dummies as far as music goes. So you guys have all played with Lego or have had Lego or know what it is. If you can imagine putting a blindfold on and then trying to get somebody to build the Empire State Building with Lego, telling them how to do it piece by piece. It's basically what Sharon does with us. All right, where the words go, what notes to sing, the timing and everything, and she does a wonderful job with us, and we truly appreciate you, Sharon. Thank you very much. God has given you a gift, a wonderful gift. So thank you. back to our regularly programmed program.
Special thanks to those who are visiting today. Glad to have you. Please stick around for cake and coffee. I don't know if you can smell the coffee. It should be all done. Let's pray. Father, as we fellowship now, bless our fellowship. Thank you for this time again. I thank you for everyone here. I pray that you bless them. And Father, would you bring us back again to worship you next Sunday? I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Not bad. Have some cake and coffee.